Hello and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today I am joined by George Gadelius, Managing Director and Head of Leverage Finance at Sykes Investment Advisors. George is the Senior Portfolio Manager for Sykes' Leverage Loan Portfolios. George, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Joe.
George, I'd like to begin by talking about the distinction between the CDO experience of 2008 and some of the stress and strain surrounding CLOs in 2019 and 2020. Many have presented that CLOs will present a similar systemic risk to what we experienced in 2008 for CDOs. Do you think there's credibility in that assertion?
I don't, Joe. I think there are many differences, and it has become, I guess, a favorite topic for financial writers to muse about. But ultimately, I think the great financial crisis presented us with the greatest test for the CLO market. And I think it's fair to say that the CLO market came through it pretty well. I think CLOs proved to be very resilient through the great financial crisis, as secured leverage loans proved to be a much better asset to back a securitization rather than subprime mortgages and CDOs. So it's also important to note that in the wake of the subprime blow up, you know, more bells and whistles, if you will, more protections were added to post-crisis CLOs to protect lenders even further. So the goal of a CLO structure is for debt holders to get repaid first and foremost. And, you know, despite a couple of hiccups in kind of the March-April timeframe, things have, I would think it's fair to say that things have calmed down. And some of the predictions of, the ultimate demise of the CLO market have proven to be inaccurate.
So it's interesting that you mentioned the writings as it relates to the headwinds for the CLO market. That seems to be the favorite thing to conduct a lot of the journalism in financial periodicals and other sorts. In addition to that, other headwinds that are mentioned as it relates to CLOs is the perception, which I don't disagree with, that we are going to be conducting ourselves in a very low rate environment for many years to come. And obviously that would equate to lower total returns for loans. How do investors navigate that low rate, low return potential environment?
Yeah, there are several factors obviously that go into, you know, the ultimate return you're going to get on a loan. And, you know, the multiple factors involved include, obviously, the, you know, big picture, the macroeconomic picture, the Fed, and then more on the micro level, spread levels, the average price of a loan. And as we saw post-financial crisis, when rates were driven down to almost zero by the Fed, we saw loans perform very well. Spreads obviously blew out in the 2008-2009 timeframe, and as the macroeconomic picture started to improve, you saw that companies were starting to get back on their feet and were able to manage their balance sheet and grow into it and service their debt very handily. And right now, I think it's important to point out that in addition to, you know, yes, LIBOR is low. It's about where it was back in 2011, 2012, namely about 0.25%. But there are really three components to a loan's coupon. There's LIBOR. There's the spread. So that's L plus. If it's L plus 300, 300 is the spread on the loan. And then at times, and we're in that time now, there's something called the LIBOR floor that supplements LIBOR to boost the overall coupon. And we're seeing new issues now. Almost all of them are being issued with a floor of between 75 and 100 basis points, which means that you're receiving the higher of actual LIBOR or the floor. So in this case, if you have a LIBOR floor of 100 basis points or 1%, you're going to receive the 1%, not the 0.25%. And then you look at where loans are now from a valuation perspective, the average price is about 92, and what we call the pull to par will ultimately, you know, we'll see loans, you know, migrating closer to par as, you know, as again, as we start to recover, albeit slowly, from the impact of the virus. And, you know, the market has certainly proven that over the last couple of months. So then if we just zoom out and say, okay, well, how have loans performed kind of over a 12-month period, if you will, when spreads have been, let's say, around 700 basis points, which is where we are today. So we could use, let's say, June 2010, August 2011, when the U.S. got downgraded, February 2016, when there was the big energy sell-off. If you looked at returns for the next 12 months, it was 12% in the 12-month period following June 2010, 11% following August 11, and 10.5% following Feb 16. So the valuations right now are similar, and it's the reason why we like where the market is today.
George, another perceived headwind is the lack of CLO issuance and also the lack of retail demand. How would you categorize both of those conditions currently?
The retail is certainly a much smaller part of the market relative to high yield. And high yield mutual funds make up a much larger percentage of the market, and fund flows are very important, as they have been this year. On the loan side, however, still a meaningful number, but it is down to only 5% of the market. So the loan market today is $1.4 trillion, and retail only makes up 5% of that, or $70 billion. So, again, it's not immaterial, but it's not the number that it once was. So CLO issuance is definitely more important. And to your point, it had slowed in March and April. It was only about $2 billion of issuance in April. That number increased to $4 billion. In May, $8 billion in June. So, again, we're below last year's levels, but certainly you can see that the market has adapted, and we're seeing, you know, pretty healthy issuance right now.
George, let's finish up by talking about sectors and positioning. How are you right now as it relates to being overweight and underweight to those sector?
Yeah, the big shifts for us over the last 3 months, really, you know, since the crisis started in March, we have been decreasing some of the more global footprint names in our portfolio. So, you know, a lot of the portfolio is very U.S.-centric, whether that's your local, you know, cable company, your hospital care company. You know, there are, I would say that, you know, leverage loans in general is a very U.S.-centric asset class. You don't see a lot of multinationals as you do in the corporate world, investment-grade corporate world. So we've been decreasing chemicals as one example, leisure, and telecom, not really because of the, you know, they're not really, the companies who are invested in are U.S.-centric, but many of them have really kind of climbed right back to par. So it's more of a relative value play, where, you know, we're seeing better relative value on new issues relative to some of the names we own in telecom that were overweight. So we're not getting out of them. We're just reducing the overweight. The sectors we're increasing are really technology, which we were underweight because of poor relative value pre-crisis. And, you know, as prices got into the 80s and 90s, we were able to add some names that we didn't like at par, but made a lot more sense. The lower levels, in particular, the names that not only are not being hurt, but they may actually be benefiting in the current environment due to, you know, work from home trend that we've seen. Healthcare, we've increased a bit in certain subsectors like the hospital space. So, you know, there are sectors where we're more cautious on the pharmaceutical side, for example, but we are seeing good value on the hospital side.
George, let's make that the last word. I want to thank you for your time and certainly for sharing your insights today. And thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of Virtus Voices. If you have any questions or would like more information, please visit virtus.com.